What if the most popular advice on withdrawal rates in retirement are setting you up for an unfulfilling retirement, or worse, setting you up to go broke? This is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy, and I've been a financial advisor for over 25 years, and I'm here to help you make better withdrawal decisions. Today, we're testing four withdrawal rates head to head. The ultra conservative safe withdrawal rate of 3.4%, the famous 4% rule, an aggressive 6% strategy, and Dave Ramsey's 8% recommendation that says works with good growth stock mutual funds. I'm showing you the actual probability each one succeeds, what your account balance looks like at age 90, and one variable that determines whether you retire into financial security or financial disaster. But there's a critical factor hiding in these numbers that changes everything about which withdrawal strategy you should choose. Everyone's situation is different, but by the end of this episode, you'll have a clear idea what withdrawal rate allows you not only to enjoy your retirement, but allow you to sleep at night knowing you can retire and stay comfortably retired. I recently ran four different withdrawal strategies for a couple, and one of them, promoted by the most trusted names in personal finance, was a complete disaster. But here's the twist nobody talks about. The safest strategy might actually be the most dangerous one for your life satisfaction. I watched a client die at 79 with $2.8 million in the bank, having never taken the trip to see the Northern Lights because he was being responsible. His widow told me that was his biggest regret. So which is worse, running out of money or running out of time? In this episode, you'll learn three wealth decision principles to remember to become smarter with money and an action plan to help you make better withdrawal rate decisions today. And as a bonus, I'm giving the first five people who comment on this episode access to my financial planning software powered by Right Capital. All you have to do is answer this question. Do you know what your withdrawal rate needs to be in retirement? And then type the word plan in the comments to get your link. And also, one of you will get a 60-minute Zoom call with me to help you create a basic financial plan, which is valued at about $1,500. So let me tell you about Mike and Jennifer. They came into my office 6 weeks ago, both 62, exhausted from decades of corporate grind. And they both kept telling me they can't wait to retire. Mark worked in commercial real estate for 39 years, and Jennifer was in pharmaceutical sales for 35. They saved aggressively. They also qualify for $70,000 in combined Social Security once they filed. Oh, Mike drops a folder on my desk, and I'm talking like a three-edge binder. And he said, Brian, we've been researching for 8 months. We've read books. We've listened to podcasts. We've joined Facebook groups. And everyone says something different. Some guy on YouTube says 3% is the only safe number. Sue Zorman talks about 3-4%. Then we hear Dave Ramsey tell someone they can take 8% as long as they're invested in good growth stock mutual funds. He said to me, we're more confused now than when we started. And Jennifer adds, here's my nightmare. We retire, we're careful, we only spend a little. Then at 77, Mike gets diagnosed with something serious. At that point, the $2 million in our account doesn't matter. His body can't travel anymore. We wasted our healthy years being afraid. But my other nightmare, we spend freely and I'm 89, alone and broke, living with my daughter because we ran out of money. Which nightmare do we choose? This is the retirement question that haunts people. How much can you safely spend without either destroying your future or wasting the present? Now, I've run retirement projections for over 500 families, and the data shows something most advisors don't talk about. The answer isn't simple, and anyone who gives you a one-size-fits-all percentage is either uninformed or trying to sell you something. So let's dive into the four withdrawal strategies. Here's exactly what I modeled for Mike and Jennifer. Four different withdrawal strategies, identical starting conditions. $1.5 million in a diversified portfolio. And I used a 70-30 mix of stocks versus bonds, which is age appropriate for a 62-year-old. They're both retiring at 62 and taking early Social Security at a total of $70,000 per year between the two of them. And we used a planning age of age 90. That's 28 years the money needs to last. So strategy number one is the 3.4% withdrawal rate. This is the sleep great at night approach. Mike and Jennifer withdraw $51,000 annually from their portfolio. Combined with $70,000 in Social Security, they're living on $121,000 per year total. That's actually slightly less than what they're living on now while working. Strategy number two, the 4% withdrawal rate. This is the classic rule you've probably heard about. And really, it was designed for the worst case scenario. They take $60,000 a year from their portfolio, which is a total income of $130,000 annually. That's $9,000 more than the conservative approach, enough for a nice annual vacation or a little bit of breathing room in their budget. And strategy number three, the 6% withdrawal rate. Now we're pushing into aggressive territory. They're pulling $90,000 from their investments each year, making their combined income about $160,000. That's $39,000 more per year than the conservative strategy. This means they'd be able to take multiple trips, maybe help their grandkids with college, or possibly save money to purchase a lake house. And strategy number four is the 8% withdrawal rate. This is what Dave Ramsey has said is achievable if you're invested in good growth stock mutual funds averaging 10 to 12% returns. They withdraw $120,000 annually. Total income, $190,000 per year. That's $69,000 more than the conservative approach, enough to transform their entire retirement lifestyle. Now, here's where it gets interesting. These aren't just different numbers. They're different philosophies about risk, lifestyle, and purpose of money. Stick around because in just a minute, I'm going to show you the success rates that will probably surprise you. But before we go any further, hit the subscribe button right now if you're enjoying this episode. And by the end of this episode, you'll have a step-by-step action plan that will help you calculate your personal safe withdrawal rate based upon your actual situation. Now, obviously, I'm here and you're there. I don't know your particular situation. I don't know how much you have in pre-tax accounts or Roth. I don't know how much you have in a taxable investment account. I don't know your particular goals. What you're going to learn is what is safe and what is not. To test these strategies, I use Monte Carlo simulation. Think of it like this. Instead of assuming the market returns 8% every single year like clockwork, we're testing what happens if you retire in 1,000 different potential futures. Some futures include crashes early in retirement. Others include bull markets. Some include high inflation. Others show deflation. So what a probability score asks is how many of these 1,000 possible futures does your money last to age 90? What percentage is your probability of success? And what I found with Mike and Jennifer is very eye-opening. Here's what the data actually shows, and pay attention because these numbers reveal something critical about retirement planning and withdrawal rates. So let's start with the 3.4% withdrawal rate. The probability of success is between 96 and 98% on my Right Capital portal. The median ending balance at age 90 is close to $4 million. Their annual income was $121,000, which is roughly $10,000 per month between portfolio withdrawals and Social Security. So Mike and Jennifer would almost certainly never run out of money. In 96 out of 100 scenarios, they make it to age 90 with money left over. Now let's go on to the safe 4% withdrawal rule. The probability of success is about 87% on my Right Capital portal. You want to be in the confidence zone anywhere from 75 to 90%. That gives you the opportunity to actually enjoy your money and not just leave a big legacy at the end of it all. The median balance at age 90 was about $3.5 million, enough to leave a really nice legacy behind. Still very safe. Roughly 9 out of 10 scenarios succeed. Now let's move on to the 6% aggressive withdrawal rate. The probability of success was 39%. The median ending balance is they wouldn't have a balance at age 90. They would run out of money at age 86. This gives them annual income of $160,000 or about $13,300 per month. Now we're barely better than a coin flip. In 61 out of 100 scenarios, Mike and Jennifer run completely out of money before age 90. In the scenarios where it works, they have some money left. In the ones where it fails, they're broke in their mid-80s. Now let's move on to the 8% withdrawal rate. You can probably guess the probability of success is very low. This is the famous Dave Ramsey, you can take 8% and never run out of money approach. 7% probability of success. The median ending balance, well, there is none. They run out of money at age 76, just 14 years into their retirement. Now, this is devastating. In 93 out of 100 scenarios, they go completely broke before reaching age 90. And in many of the failure scenarios, the money runs out by age 81 to 83, right when healthcare costs spike and long-term care possibly might be needed. So before we move on, I would love if you replied to my pinned comment and tell me, if these were your only choices, what strategy would you pick? Would you go the safe 4% or roll the dice at 8%? Now, there's no judgment. I generally want to know what you think about this trade-off. Now, one disclaimer with the 8% withdrawal rate from Dave Ramsey. He thinks you can take 8%, but you need to adjust it when the market isn't doing well. I don't know about you. If I'm getting used to living a certain lifestyle in retirement, and then all of a sudden I have to cut it by half, because that's what you'd have to do if there was a huge market correction. You'd have to go from 8% to 4%. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to change my lifestyle. Start with a safer withdrawal rate, anywhere from 4 to 5%. Now, let me just visualize this for you. Imagine you're standing at four different doors. Behind door number one is a 96% chance of success, but you're living modestly. Behind door number four, an amazing lifestyle, but a 92% chance you go broke. Which door would you choose? This brings us to wealth decision principle number one. Retirement success isn't about the highest return. It's about the highest certainty. And here's what I mean. Dave Ramsey's math isn't wrong. If you average 10% returns and withdraw 8%, you should theoretically be fine. But retirement doesn't work on averages. It works on sequences. And that's the difference between theory and reality. You can't eat average returns. You have to survive actual year-by-year market chaos. And that's where the 8% strategy falls apart. So stay with me because I'm about to explain the one thing that destroys even well-planned retirement. So now let's talk about why an 8% withdrawal rate, which sounds perfectly reasonable when Dave Ramsey explains it, fails 93% of the time when you actually test it through real market conditions. The concept is called sequence of returns risk, and it's the silent killer of retirement plans. Here's how it works. Let's say Mike and Jennifer retire with their $1.5 million in January 2008. They decide to follow Dave Ramsey's advice and take 8%, $120,000 per year. Sounds pretty good, right? Year one, 2008, the market crashes 37%. Their $1.5 million drops to about $945,000. They also need their $120,000 for living expenses. And after the withdrawal, they're sitting at $825,000. They've lost 45% of their portfolio in 1 year. Year two, 2009, the market rebounds 26%. Great, but they're starting with $825,000, not $1.5 million. They grow to roughly about $1 million, then withdraw $120,000. They're at $920,000. Year three, 2010, the market's up 15%. They grow to about $1 million. Withdraw $120,000, they're at $940,000. Now you can see the problem here. Even with the market recovering, they're kind of stuck. They're now withdrawing nearly 13% per year if they wanted that same income from a beaten down portfolio. To get $120,000, they have to sell more and more shares at depressed prices. Even if the market averages 10% over the next 20 years, Mike and Jennifer can't catch up. The early losses were too devastating. By their late 70s, they're basically running on fumes. Compare that to someone who retired in 2009 after the crash. Same 8% withdrawal rate, but they're withdrawing during market gains. Completely different outcome. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number two. When you retire matters more than what you save. Two people with identical portfolios, identical withdrawal rates, and identical average returns over 30 years can have completely opposite outcomes based solely on what happens in the first 5 years of retirement. That's why using average returns to justify high withdrawal rates is dangerous. You're betting that you won't retire into a crash. But 30 to 40% of retirees do retire in down markets. It's not rare. It's fairly common. Have you ever felt nervous about retirement, Tybee? Like maybe you should wait another year or two? That instinct is picking up on sequence risk, even if you've never heard the term before. So in just a moment, I'm going to give you the exact strategy I recommended to Mike and Jennifer. So after showing them all this data, Mike asked the question, Brian, what do we actually do? What is the right answer? And here's the truth. There's no single right withdrawal rate, but there is a right process for determining your withdrawal rate. It depends on six factors. Factor number one is spending flexibility. Can you reduce spending during market crashes? Mike and Jennifer realized that their $130,000 lifestyle could flex down to $115,000 on bad years. They could delay renovations, reduce travel temporarily, or cut back on dining out. That flexibility is worth more than you think. It can increase success probability by 15 to 20%. Factor number two is the essential needs versus the discretionary needs split. Mike and Jennifer's $70,000 Social Security covers their essentials, their mortgage, their groceries, their utilities, their insurance. The portfolio is funding the extras. Someone whose Social Security only covers half their basics is in a much riskier position. Factor number three is health and longevity expectation. Jennifer's grandmother lived to 98. Jennifer's in great health, runs marathons, has no major health issues. Planning to only 90 might not be conservative enough. Mike's dad died at 73 from heart disease. Mike has some similar health markers, but they still need to plan for Jennifer potentially living another 35 plus years. Factor number four is legacy goals. Do you want to leave money behind at the end of it all? Mike wasn't attached to leaving a big inheritance. Jennifer wanted to leave something for their two daughters. These competing goals matter when choosing risk level. Factor number five is other income or assets. They own their home outright, $450,000 in equity, no other debt, no pension beyond Social Security. But that home equity is a backstop if things go really wrong. And factor number six is emotional risk tolerance. Some people can handle a 60% success rate and sleep fine. Others need 95% certainty. Mike wanted high certainty. Jennifer was more comfortable with risk. Neither is wrong. You just need to know which one you are. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number three. The best withdrawal rate adjusts to reality, not just projection. Here's the mistake. Picking a withdrawal rate percentage at age 62 and never changing it for 28 years. That's completely insane. Markets change, your health changes, your goals change, your spending should change too. And here's what I recommended to Mike and Jennifer. Start at a 4% withdrawal, $60,000 from the portfolio, $130,000 total income between Social Security and the withdrawals from their portfolio. But build in some dynamic guardrails. Have an upside adjustment. If the portfolio grows to 1.9 million, increase to 5% or 95,000 from the portfolio. Enjoy the upside. Take the extra trips. Live a little bit more. But also have a downside adjustment. If the portfolio drops below 1.1 million, reduce to 3% temporarily. So 33,000 from the portfolio. Tighten up a little bit. Cut discretionary spending and ride out the storm. Every December, you should check your portfolio value and do an annual audit. Adjust the following year's spending based upon these types of guardrails. This dynamic strategy means spending more when markets are strong and less when markets are weak. It's not fun to cut spending temporarily, but having a flexible withdrawal strategy means that you can enjoy more of your retirement when you're young and adjust it later in life. It's definitely better than running out of money at 85. Let's make this immediately useful. Here's your exact action plan for smart withdrawals. Step one, open a spreadsheet or grab a piece of paper. List every guaranteed income source, Social Security, pensions, annuities, rental income. This is your floor. You can't fall through it. Step number two, list your must-have expenses, housing, food, healthcare, insurance, utilities. Can your guaranteed income cover most of this? If yes, you're in a strong position. If no, you need to be very conservative with your withdrawals. Step number three, list your want-to-have expenses like travel, hobbies, dining out, gifts, entertainment. This is what your portfolio needs to fund. Be honest about what lifestyle you actually want. And step number four, calculate your initial withdrawal rate. Take your want-to-have annual spending and divide that by your portfolio balance. If that number is above 5%, you're in a little bit of a danger zone. And step five, stress test it. If you make a comment on today's episode, you may get access to my financial planning software where you can do any type of stress test you want on your financial plan. And step six, set some guardrails now. Write them down. If your portfolio reaches X, increase to Y. If it falls to Z, decrease to W. Make these decisions now before fear or greed takes over during a market swing. Right now, pull out your phone, open your retirement account, look at the balance, multiply by 0.04. That's a 4% withdrawal. Add your expected Social Security, and could you live on that total amount for a year? If yes, great, you're probably on track. If no, you have three choices: save more, work longer, or adjust your expectations. Those are your only options, but at least you know. So here's what you need to remember. There's no universal correct withdrawal rate. The right answer depends on your flexibility, your other income, your health and longevity, your goals. But here's what the data clearly shows. An 8% withdrawal rate is objectively dangerous for most people. Would you invest in a business with a 93% failure rate? Then why bet your retirement on it? On the flip side, a 3.4% withdrawal rate with a 96% success rate sounds safe, but if you're sacrificing your healthiest years out of fear, you're making a different kind of mistake. For most people, somewhere between 4 to 5% with dynamic adjustments is the sweet spot. High probability of success with enough income to actually enjoy your life. If this was helpful, hit the like button, subscribe to my channel, and drop a comment telling me what withdrawal rate makes sense for your situation. I respond to every comment personally, and one of your answers just might inspire a future episode. And thanks for listening to today's episode. And remember, make every wealth decision count. This is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy, and I hope to see you next week.